As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Good morning, welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Tuesday the 30th of April. I'm Michael Bailey, and on today's show, Premier League clubs say yes to a squad cost cap.
Well, it's a pretty loose cap in my view.
Salah is staying at Liverpool.
With Klopp about to leave, if there was any issue between the pair of them, it kind of doesn't matter.
And familiar foes kick off the Champions League semis.
So much attacking talent, it's a proper Champions League semi-final tie.
This is the Daily Football Briefing with Michael Bailey.
Before we get stuck into the big stories, there are a couple of things from last night to bring you. Barcelona returned to second in La Liga with victory over Valencia at Montjuic last night, but it's fair to say it wasn't straightforward.
I think he's onside here. I think he was played on by Koundé. Oh, what a mess! What a mess! Ter Stegen, and it's 1-1!
What a howler that was, by the way. Valencia led 2-1 at half-time, but were also reduced to 10 men just before the break after goalkeeper Georgi Mamardashvili was sent off for handling the ball outside his penalty box. That left Robert Lewandowski's second-half hat-trick to seal a 4-2 win, topped off by his beautiful free kick in added time.
Yes, it is! Hat-trick hero! Robert Lewandowski!
Remarkably, that was only the second free-kick goal Barca have scored since Lionel Messi left the club in 2021. Barca are once again 2 points ahead of their neighbours Girona in third and 11 behind leaders Real Madrid, who could complete their 36th Spanish title win at the weekend if they beat Cadiz at the Bernabeu and Barcelona fail to win at Girona. And in the English Championship, Leicester have wrapped up the title.
And Jamie Vardy with a chance to turn and a chance to score!
Leicester had already secured their automatic promotion back to the Premier League at the first attempt when Leeds lost on Friday night. And last night, their 3-0 win at Preston, including a brace from Jamie Vardy, took Leicester to 97 points with one game left and the silverware secured. That leaves all eyes on who will finish second. Ipswich Town will have one hand on that prize if they can win their game in hand on Leeds. That's at Coventry tonight, and it's live from 8 p.m. on Sky Sports in the UK or 3 p.m. Eastern in the US on ESPN+. In Man United news, our own David Ornstein has reported the club would consider selling Marcus Rashford this summer, but only if they get a substantial offer and Rashford wants the move. And that wasn't the only story from our football guru. David Ornstein also had an exclusive update on the future of Mo Salah. The Liverpool forward's verbal jousting with Jurgen Klopp on the touchline at the London Stadium grabbed the weekend headlines. So what of the fallout? Here's David.
It's our understanding that Liverpool fully expect Mohamed Salah to stay with the club this summer, and that they're planning with him being a key part of their squad again for next season and potentially even beyond. Now, to remind you, he's approaching the final 12 months of his contract, and that has generated a lot of speculation around what might happen with his future. Could he be on his way out, especially with all the change at Anfield coming up, not least the departure of Jurgen Klopp, Michael Edwards coming in as CEO of football for Fenway Sports Group, Richard Hughes as sporting director, Arne Slot, the anticipated replacement for Klopp. And despite the public perception being that Salah is heading for the exit door, my information is quite different to that. And it's that Salah has expressed absolutely no intention to depart. To the contrary, that he remains fully committed to Liverpool. And people pointed to the tense exchange with Jurgen Klopp on the touchline at West Ham on Saturday. But internally, I've not sensed any real concern around that. And furthermore, with Klopp about to leave, if there was any issue between the pair of them, it kind of doesn't matter because Klopp is not going to be there for much longer.
Hang on, I hear you ask. Won't there be significant interest from the Saudi Pro League again this summer? Here's David again.
The view there is that Salah wants to stay for the 24 to 25 campaign. And perhaps this is something that they would look at in 2025. If he is a free agent, he would be 33 then, and there would be no transfer fee involved. A lot can happen before then. Of course, they went for him very strongly last summer. It was Al Ittihad. They wanted to bring him in amid the spending spree, you could say, in the SPL. And also, Al Ittihad had the Club World Cup to think about. They wanted him to be part of their plans for that. Well, it didn't materialise on that occasion, and a lot has changed since then. I think their desire, their admiration for him remains, but maybe it's not as aggressive as it was before. And that's kind of irrelevant if Salah wants to still be at Liverpool. Now, we don't know if that will be on a new contract or whether he'll go into his final 12 months. That's one of the tasks for Richard Hughes, as it is with Trent Alexander-Arnold and Virgil van Dijk, vice-captain and captain respectively, who also see their terms expire in the summer of 2025.
Thank you to David Ornstein. And remember, you can get exclusive updates from David and our reporters direct to your phone via the Athletic Insiders WhatsApp channel. It's free to join, and we'll make sure there's a link in the show notes today so you can do just that. Nothing screams business end of the season like the arrival of the Champions League semi-finals. Yes, it's in my contract that the music must always follow. The first legs play out this week with the ties concluded 7 days later. And they start tonight when Bayern Munich host Real Madrid, battling to meet either Borussia Dortmund or freshly crowned Ligue 1 champions Paris Saint-Germain in the final at Wembley. There's a lovely tactical preview from Tom Harris to read ahead of the game on The Athletic. And I'm delighted to say our data analyst Mark Carey joins us now. Mark, it's Bayern against Real tonight. What are you looking forward to most about it?
I think the main thing is just the prestige of the tie that we have tonight. It's the most played match in the history of Europe's main club competition. I think it's quite interesting that both sides were doubts to make it through to the semi-final, given what I've just said. But there's just something about these clubs. They find a way to make it to these latter stages. And, you know, there's so many good players on show for both sides. So much attacking talent. It's a proper Champions League semi-final tie. I'm really intrigued to see how the first leg will play out, because there's obviously two games to play and it may be slightly cagey, but given the nature of modern football, it probably won't be. But yeah, it's no doubt a very, very exciting game to watch.
There's an interesting head coach dynamic as well, isn't there? Carlo Ancelotti, one of the most successful coaches Europe has seen. Thomas Tuchel on the way out at Bayern Munich. What should we bear in mind from those two?
Yeah, I think from Ancelotti's side, I think the way that he sets up Real Madrid, they're just so difficult to pin down. I think I've said it before, they can be a Swiss army knife at times, depending on the situation. They can bunker in and play a low block. They can counterattack. They can play more of that sort of dominant football, which is massively helpful, of course, in knockout football, where you do need to adapt to the chaos of certain situations and the game state. I think Real Madrid's strength without the ball might be really key in their counter-attacking strength, which I think Bayern will probably need to be aware of, because the onus will probably be on Bayern Munich to have more of the ball, given that they're at home in this game specifically. So I think the counter-attacking side will be something that Ancelotti will encourage. For Thomas Tuchel, it's an odd situation, because he's in the semi-final of a Champions League, but he knows he's leaving at the end of the season, as you mentioned. So Bayern Munich are a little bit hampered by injury, so whether or not he'll be able to go full tilt in what he wants to do tactically with that width and strength in wide areas and the pace that they have in wide areas. But both have that real strength in those transitional moments, that pace, as I mentioned. So I think if the game does open up, we might see a really end-to-end encounter.
Thanks, Mark. And you can catch Bayern against Real live from 8 p.m. in the UK on TNT Sports, which is 3 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus in the US. The Premier League is another step closer to more stringent financial rules. Yesterday, the 20 clubs met in London and agreed to push ahead with plans for a spending cap on their squads from the season after next. The Athletic's Matt Slater joins us now to pick apart the developments. So, Matt, Premier League clubs have voted for a hard spending cap as part of these new squad cost rules. What's caught your eye from the meeting?
They voted in principle, Michael, and I think that's important. In fact, they probably, the Premier League this is, might even push back at the phrase in principle, because I think that makes it sound like it's going to happen at some point. I think what's really happened is a lot of clubs are very keen on this idea, and what was put to the vote was, shall we carry on looking at it? And that's what's going to happen. And that did go through, basically 16-4. And to get anything done at the Premier League, you need a two-thirds majority. So you need 14 of the 20 clubs to back something. What actually happened was 16 of them backed it. And three clubs said no. And that was Manchester City, Manchester United and Aston Villa. And one club, who actually are probably the only club that if this rule was in place, would possibly have failed it in 22-23, is Chelsea, and they abstained. So there's your 16 for all the others, and those are your three who voted against and one who abstained.
So yeah, those clubs involved on the negative side strike me as the ones who have spent or are going to spend a lot of money. That would be my wild conclusion. What happens from here?
Well, so having been given the green light to carry on working on this idea, and they've got to do a lot of consultation here, because the real issue for me is they've got to run this past the Professional Footballers Association, the trade union, because what this is a hard cap, and it's the way it works is they're calling it anchoring, and it's a multiple from top to bottom, so that the top club can only spend a multiple, and it's probably about five times what the bottom club earns in central TV and sponsorship income. So that's the money the Premier League itself dishes out. So just to, you know, if we just look at 22-23, the bottom club of Southampton, they earned about 100 million. So multiply that by five, and you get to 500 million. And that is your squad cost. So that is the wages you pay for your first team, your coaches, your amortized transfer fees and agents fees. So it's the same stuff as the UEFA rule and where the Premier League is heading with its own squad cost rule, but it's a hard cap. There's actually a top ceiling. So that's all going to go to the AGM now, where they are going to have to consult with the PFA, and they are going to have to really hammer down this multiple and what's counted, what's not counted. Because it's going to be a row about, you don't want it too tight, because then you really will invite legal challenge, but you don't want it so loose that it's just pointless. And that's the debate.
I mean, stuff like this, it feels like the Premier League working through issues and making progress, and it's working quite well. Is that a slightly fanciful perception?
Well, baby steps. You know, as I said, this is a very caveated in principle support, and it's not unanimous. And that's the way the Premier League likes to work. And okay, you know, you've upset Man City, Man United. Well, you've upset Man City again. You've upset Man United and Aston Villa, one of the sort of disruptor clubs, and Chelsea are, you know, abstaining. You know, when we get the proposal, we could have more opponents to this. So I don't know. Look, it's an idea. It's clearly got the support of most of the people in the room. I think most fans can get their head around it and go, yeah, okay, if that's a sort of ceiling, and at least it kind of, you know, stops the really rich clubs galloping off into the distance. Maybe not such a bad idea for competitive integrity and what have you. But it's a pretty loose cap in my view. And I think there's even going to be legal problems getting it in the rule books.
Thanks, Matt. And with that issue, plus appeals from Everton and Nottingham Forest against points deductions for breaching profit and sustainability rules, as well as those longer-term charges against Chelsea and Man City, it's fair to say there are plenty of Premier League stories to keep on top of. And you'll be able to do just that over at The Athletic. And that's your lot for today's briefing. I've been Michael Bailey. Your producers were Abby Patterson and Mike Zimmerman, with your executive producer, Ian McIntosh. Adam Leventhal will be with you tomorrow. In the meantime, have a top Tuesday.
The Athletic.